Welcome, my brothers, back to the study of Nehemiah. Those in Uganda, Kenya, Canada, those here in the U.S. locally, I want to thank God. I thank God for each one of you. We are now on lecture number 6 of Nehemiah. And before we begin our study, I want to read from Romans chapter 1 as Paul's greeting to the Christians in Rome. He says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers making request, if perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine." Paul was encouraged by the saints, he loved the saints, and he was thankful for the saints. And I'm thankful for each one of you that are part of this MLI program. Just your desire to be a servant leader, to learn what it is to follow Jesus and to serve him with a whole heart and to minister to God's people. Not only I pray that I'm an encouragement to you, but I know that you're an encouragement to me. And my desire is to see everyone who is in the MLI program face to face. Some of you I have met face to face, some I have not met yet, and I look forward to that day. Anyway, we were on the second major section of Nehemiah, which had to do with opposition to God's work. That started in chapter 4. We saw that there were trials in chapter 4, trials from the outside. We also saw not only were there trials from the outside, there were trials from the inside. Even among the Israelites themselves, there were issues going on that were ungodly, that were not best for the people. Now, we move along to point number C, beginning with chapter 6. It's avoiding distractions. Avoiding distractions. And under this point, we have number one, deception and dishonesty. And then we have the daring and discerning, really, of Nehemiah. So point number C, avoiding distractions, deception and dishonesty. Let's read, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 6. "Then word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies, that I had rebuilt the wall, and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors and the gates. Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message, 'Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono.'" Interesting. Well, back early in the book, we find that Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem's mocking did not work. Two lectures ago, we realized that their threats did not work. And now they're offering a third option. It's compromise. Compromise we're going to find through coercion. Compromise, if you want to say, through trying to get Nehemiah to be afraid. But notice Nehemiah at the end of verse 2. He noticed, "They were scheming to harm me." Why were they scheming to harm Nehemiah? It's because among the people, and especially among those of Judah, Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, they were losing favor among the people. They were losing their power over the people. And the fear that they instilled in many of the Israelites and many of the Jewish people was now leaving, because they had a strong leader in Nehemiah, and Nehemiah empowered the leaders to stand firm. So Nehemiah knew they were scheming. So in verse 3, what does he do? "So I sent messengers to them with this reply, 'I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should I the work stop while I leave it and go down to you?' 4 times they sent me the message, and each time I gave them the same answer." Whoa, were they persistent. Sanballat and Geshem were very persistent. And yet Nehemiah does not give down. And I love this statement. He goes, "I'm carrying on a great project and I cannot go down. Why should I stop the work and leave this work and go down to you? Nehemiah's call was to build up the walls of Jerusalem, to put the gates back on, and to fortify the city, and to make it a strong city, and make it a city that is not ashamed, and to make a people, to develop a people not ashamed of their God. He knew if he came down and he got involved in visiting with them, what we call that is politics. He gets involved in the politics of what is going on. And what has happened, if he's not on the wall is not being built. So he stays focused. And he stays focused on the great work. He's not going to compromise his position with these men because they know, he knows that they're trying to harm him. They're trying to harm the people. Now notice this. Then the fifth time, Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message. Notice, and in his hand was an unsealed letter. This is something to laugh about. Well, what we have today is we have many people sending unsealed letters out, and it's called Facebook. When people get frustrated and they want to announce things and they want to announce their frustration with people or their anger with other people, they'll go to Facebook and they'll post something on Facebook for all their friends and everybody to read and to hear. So what he did is he sent an unsealed letter. Why did he do that? Letters, important letters, were sealed and they were to be only opened by the one, the recipient, the one receiving the letter. He sent an unsealed letter so that as this message was being carried to Nehemiah, others would be able to read it. Others would be able to read it, and guess what would happen? Then the word would get spread abroad of this message. And it was another way to intimidate Nehemiah. And so he sends an unsealed letter so that all the world can read it. And this is what he says. It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it is true that you and the Jews are plotting a revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you are about to become their king, and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem, that there is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king, so come, let us confer together. So Sanballat desires the lies to spread. And as the lies would spread, his hope was it would cause intimidation of Nehemiah because Nehemiah would fear the king in the empire. It's interesting. No such thing was going on. Nehemiah was not going to appoint himself king. He was governor of Judah. He was not going to appoint himself the king. He respected his king. He respected Artaxerxes. Artaxerxes trusted him. But anyway, we see how easily these lies can be spread. There are people out there who hate the truth. They're motivated by Satan, and they will do whatever it takes. They'll do whatever it takes to cause God's work to stop. It happens quite often. Well, if the enemy can't beat you, notice in the book, they will what? They'll attempt to join you or connect with your friends. Like I said, the mocking didn't work. The threats didn't work. Now he's trying to get Nehemiah to compromise, to sit down with him and play politics with him. And he even sends this open letter to try to bring fear into Nehemiah's heart. Sanballat does not know how powerful Nehemiah's God is. But Nehemiah knew how powerful he was. Because not only did God call Nehemiah to this great project, he equipped him and opened doors for him and even touched the heart of the king and queen, that they would give Nehemiah all that he needed to build the walls of Jerusalem. Nehemiah knew God's hand was in this and that he did not have to compromise with God's enemies. So if the enemy can't beat you, they'll attempt to join you or to connect with your good friends. Because what they can do is, through mutual friends, they can get to you. So they'll say things to your mutual friends that they hope get back to you. Number two, they will test you in order to see if you'll compromise. They will test you. The enemy will test you to see if you will compromise. Number three, they'll try to tire you out and get you to listen to them. They'll try to tire you out. Five times he sent this message to Nehemiah. Come down, come confer with us. And finally, after four times, he realizes, I got to do something bigger. I'm going to send an open letter, and I'm going to make Nehemiah look bad in this letter. And I want all people to see it. They'll try to tire you out. And number four, they'll use lies and trickery to get your attention through fear. They'll use lies, they'll use deceitfulness, trickery to get your attention through fear. You know, it's interesting through all of this, Geshem, Sanballat, Tobiah, the fruit of their lives did not change. They did not change. Their trickery was of Satan. In these men, there is no repentance. There is no changing of their mind. There is no admittance to their being wrong. There is no apology. There is no thanksgiving. Remember those things. No repentance, no apology, and no giving of thanks for what God is doing. Don't fall for good words. Good words mean nothing. Jesus said, by their fruits you will know them. Many people are very good at talking. We know that politicians are very practiced in talking good words. They say good words to deceive people because they want their vote. They want popularity. A person cannot be elected unless they're popular. So they'll do whatever it takes to be popular. They will spread lies. They will say lies about the people they're running against. There seems to be no shame in politics. Well, with Sanballat, with Tobiah, with Geshem, it was all about politics. It was all about they wanted to gain their favor back and gain their power back, which Nehemiah was getting from them. He was gaining favor and power because he was doing the will of God. And as these false teachers saw they were losing it, they wanted the people to think that they were buddies or friends with Nehemiah. Nehemiah would have none of it. Nehemiah would not compromise his testimony with these false people. Again, there was no change in attitude. These men had no change in attitude. They never encouraged the people. All they ever did was try to discourage the people and get them to fear them in order to submit to them. Also, we see no submission to Nehemiah, who was the governor of Judah. They had no submission to Nehemiah or the Jewish leaders. And there was no humility among these men. Again, there was no repentance, no apology, no giving of thanks for what God is doing, no change in their attitude, no encouragement to the people, no submission to Nehemiah or the leaders, and no humility. Nehemiah saw through all of this. As the scripture says, God gives wisdom to the humble, which Nehemiah was. At the bottom of the page, Romans 16, 17 and 18, Paul tells the Romans, we read scripture from the beginning of Romans, now we're in the last chapter of Romans, and this is what Paul says. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out, to be on guard for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. Notice, by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive or simple people. This verse we need to take to heart today. Nehemiah took this truth. He did not have the book of Romans, but he knew this truth. He watched out for those that wanted to cause divisions. He watched out for those that desired to put obstacles in the way of God's work. And he kept away from them. Why? For such people are not serving our Lord Christ. They're serving their own appetites. They're serving their own desires. As when we look through, we talked about false teachers. We realize that false teachers are all about getting what they want. When we look at the history of cult leaders, if you study the history of cult leaders, it is amazing to see their lives were extremely ungodly. The founder of Mormonism, Joseph Smith, was a very, very sinful man. Very sinful, did very many sinful things. He not only was a liar, the man was an adulterer. He had committed adultery. He committed fornication. He married young girls to get what he wanted, to fulfill the lust of his flesh. He was an evil man. We follow after men who love Jesus Christ and who honor Jesus Christ. Just like I mentioned earlier, in an earlier study, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And those commandments are to love one another and to lay our lives down for the brethren. It's not about taking, it's about giving. And Nehemiah knows that to complete his job of building the walls, it takes focus and it takes determination. We move on to the point number 2 under C, continuation in chapter 6, beginning of verse 8. We see the daring and discerning, really, of Nehemiah. So in verse 8, he goes, he didn't come off the wall, but he sent a reply. I sent him this reply. Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head. Verse 9, they were trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. He saw through this. Now notice again, I have this underlined in verse 9, but I prayed. Again, Nehemiah spent time on his knees and he prayed as he did his job. He spent time in lengthy prayer. And he spent time in short prayers. He was a man of prayer. Sort of like the Apostle Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that we get down on our knees every time that we pray. But we have an attitude of prayer. Whatever is coming our way, we first and foremost bring it to our Heavenly Father. But he prayed. And what was his prayer? No strength in my hands. Why did he pray for his hands to be strengthened? That the work would carry on that God called him to do. Notice now in verse 10, this is another temptation is going to be brought before Nehemiah. One day, I went to the house of Shemaiah, and he said to me, I'll let you pronounce those names, how's that? What did he say? He was shut in his home, and he said to Nehemiah, let us meet in the house of God, inside the temple, and let us close the temple doors, because men are coming to kill you. By night, they're coming to kill you. Here is even a man of the temple who tells Nehemiah, we need to go into the temple and lock the doors because they're going to come and kill you by night, Nehemiah. But I love Nehemiah. Nothing is going to stop this man because his heart is set on doing the will of God. Verse 11, he says, but I said, should a man like me run away? Or should one like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go. I realized that God had not sent him, but that he had prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He had been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this. and then they would give me a bad name to discredit me. Here we have a man in Israel who gave himself to these false teachers. He probably took money from them. And oh, I say this, dear brothers, never let anybody tempt you with money. Don't take money for the sake of taking money. Don't let greed be your motivation. The love of money is a root of many evils. And Shemaya gave into that. He gave into that temptation to be bought off by evil men. But Nehemiah saw through that. And he asked the question, should a man like me run away? Should a leader like me, who God has called, run away? God has called me to be a leader. Should I run away because I fear men, or men are trying to make me afraid of them? I will not go, is his answer. The prophecy of Jesus was, Jesus said, I have set my face like a flint. In other words, I've set my face like a hard stone. I'm going to do the Father's will, and I'm going to complete it. And so, they would be able to discredit Nehemiah. The question is, should he run from the enemy? And as a leader, should he hide and leave his people? Should he hide behind the doors as his people are on the outside? He's hiding on the inside? We don't ever lead our people. Remember King David. Before he became king, he was a shepherd boy in the fields of Bethlehem. And a bear came, and what did he do? He protected his flock, and he killed the bear. Another time a lion came to kill sheep, and David risked his life and killed that lion to save four-legged sheep. That is why David would stand before Goliath, a giant man, and kill him to protect the people of Israel. And that is why David was the greatest king Israel had ever known. He was a man after God's own heart. He was not a perfect man. He wasn't even close. But he was a man who did not want to turn his back from his Lord. He loved his God. And so Nehemiah, the question is, should he compromise his reputation of faith as being a faithful leader? No, he would not compromise. He would not give these men Sanballat or Tobiah or Geshem. He would not even give them a little place even to say he was a compromiser. So he refuses. And he saw that this man had sold himself to the enemy. Again, notice this man of prayer, verse 14. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, O my God, because of what they have done. Remember also the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who have been trying to intimidate me. Again, Nehemiah prays to God. And he leaves it in God's hands to deal with Tobiah and Sanballat and Noadiah. He trusts his God. But notice, because he stayed focused, verse 15, so the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and they lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Amen to that. And so now, and because of the work that was completed by this strong leadership who led his people to finish this work, the surrounding nations were afraid. They became afraid. They lost their confidence because it was obvious God's hand was in this. Now, as they would say, the tables are turned. Those that were trying to cause fear are the ones who have fear. And those who initially had fear are now confident. But notice this as well, that verse 17. Also in those days, the nobles of Judah were sending many letters to Tobiah, and replies from Tobiah kept coming to the coming to them. Well, anyway, we know from this scripture that Tobiah was related to a very influential family that was in Judah. And so they kept contact with Tobiah. And this is where I said, they will use your friends at times or your acquaintances to get to you. And they were trying, when Tobiah kept sending letters to these nobles and communicating to these nobles in Judah, he was trying to convince them he was a great guy, and so that they would convince Nehemiah that Tobiah was a good guy. Maybe Sanballat and Geshem were bad guys. Hey, but Tobiah saying, hey, I'm a pretty good guy. Well, we know that he was related to them. In verse 19, moreover, these nobles in Judah kept reporting to me Tobiah's good deeds and then telling him what I said. And Tobiah sent letters to intimidate me. Never do we compromise in these situations. If we realize that we do not see repentance among these people, if we do not receive repentance, Tobiah was not repentant. He was still trying to intimidate Nehemiah, and he was using nobles of Judah to do it. These false teachers seem to never stop. And obviously, Tobiah's letters and communication with the nobles of Judah was working because they were convinced that he was a good guy. Anyway, to keep moving ahead, recall God's faithfulness to you. Recall God's faithfulness to you. Remain steadfast in the faith. Remain steadfast in the faith. C. Resist temptations of quitting. It's sad to say many pastors quit because of difficulty. And it's those difficulties that God wants to use to build our lives. Nehemiah is a shining example of never quitting. Never quitting. So resist temptations of quitting. Reflective. Be reflective of your call of God. If you know God has a hand on your life and you've been called to ministry, in times of difficulty, it's this recollection that be reflective that guess what? God has called you to this. And ministry is difficult. Ministry is difficult. Because we have a great enemy whose name is Satan. And he will not sit still when God's work is being done. All you have to do is read the life of the Apostle Paul. And you realize how difficult ministry is. Now at the bottom of this page, notice it says, Luke 14, for if he lays the foundation, the man lays a foundation of a building and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. Interesting. Nehemiah understood this principle even before Jesus spoke this in Luke. That if we don't finish these walls and finish these gates, people will look on us and they will laugh because they will say he was started to build and he couldn't finish. Nehemiah understood the need of pressing forward and finishing the task before him. Now anyway, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the next page, it says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat any man's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. The next verse, Philippians 1:20 and 21, you may read on your own. That is one of my life verses, is Philippians 1, 20 and 21. I love these scriptures. And before I preach every Sunday, this is the scripture I quote before the Lord every Sunday before I preach, as we're singing and getting ready for the Word of God. Now, the scriptures I just read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I encourage you to turn to chapter 3, and I encourage you to read this portion of scripture that I have in here and talk about this. Talk about this. Why do we stay away from brothers who are lazy? Why did Paul pay for his own food? Why did Paul work with his own hands? And why is it important, especially Paul said, I did this in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. Think about that. You as leaders, wherever you're at, Colorado, Ontario, Uganda, in Kenya, all of us are called to be models to our people. Again, as Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to take. And talk about this rule that Paul gives, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. Talk about these things, discuss them, because they're very, very important. Well, next time, we are going to be discussing the continuation of the work. We will not be going through the whole remaining chapter 7 through 13. I will be picking out certain portions of Scripture that are key to seeing what the work that continued in the book of Nehemiah. I would encourage you to read these chapters through. There's a lot of names. Maybe you can just sort of scan over those. A lot of names given about those that were going to reside in Jerusalem, those that, again, signed, were going to be part of an oath. Those are very important things. Anyway, until then, God bless you, my brothers, and may you be rejoicing in the goodness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.